From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Chayei Sarah, Wedding Blessings for Whom? The family of Rivka gives her a bracha, blessing, and they say to her, Vayivarchu et Rivka. It says that they gave her a blessed Rivka. Vayomula, and they said to her, Achotenu, our sister, At hayi, may you be, L'alfei rava, may you be for thousands of ten thousands. You should be the mother of millions. Vayivarashtarech et shar sunav. And may your children inherit the gates of their enemies. The notion that they gave a blessing, what is this talking about? Is it that they gave her a blessing, and they also said, you should be very fruitful and multiply? Or, the blessing that they gave was to be fruitful and multiply. So this leads to a question, what kind of bracha was being said? The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, one of the late Midrashic collections, says Eliezer was a messenger for the marriage, and this is the blessing of marriage and the Isuin. There's a separate blessing here. Blessing for marriage. It's like the Sheva Brachos. The Moshe of Zakenim, the Balei Tosfos, Rashi's grandchildren and students, they said Eliezer was just a messenger to bring Rivka. Eliezer wasn't there to give the money for the marriage itself, the gift. Eliezer just was a messenger to bring Rivka, not to perform marriage. The Chizkuni, another French commentator, says he was a messenger both for Kiddushin, the first stage of marriage, the betrothal, and he's suing the marriage itself. The problem is, if these are the blessings for the wedding, can a messenger make the blessings for the wedding? That's a question. So let's take a look at the blessings for wedding that we make today, and let's see whose blessings are they. So first we have the Birchas Erusin, the bracha before you give the ring. And it's a very strange bracha because it starts like all other brachos for a lulav or a shofar. It says, "Asher kishanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu," that God sanctifies and His commandments He commanded us. But here it's commanded us about licentious marital relations. So, in other words, He commanded us not to marry a married woman. He permitted us to marry those who were married to us through chuppah and kiddushin, through chuppah, the canopy, and the kiddushin, the betrothal. And we thank God, who sanctifies Israel through this chuppah and through the kiddushin. So you say, what is this? It sounds a little bit like a bracha for a tzitzis or a lulav or a shofar. On the other hand, it sounds different. So what is it? So the Rambam says, you have to make a bracha. If you get married, you have to make a bracha before the betrothal, before the ring. Either you, your messenger, can make it too. Strange. Just like you make on all mitzvahs. Can a messenger make a bracha for me? He's going to build my sukkah. He's going to make a bracha. I don't know. But it says it's just like all mitzvahs. This bracha is no different from any other bracha for mitzvahs. It's the same thing. Some people want to interpret otherwise, but it seems that the Rambam says that this is a bracha like all other brachas for mitzvahs, even though it's a negative mitzvah. Maybe it's on the mitzvah of kiddushin, a mitzvah of getting married, a mitzvah of having children. And maybe that's enough of a bracha. However, the Ritva says, no, it's an elkein kiddush. It's like some sign of sanctification. It's more similar to kiddush on Friday night than it is to a bracha over a lulav or a shofar. And what? That God sanctified us in the matter of marriage or having children more than the other nation. He gave us the idea of betrothal and chuppah that other nations don't have. So then we can ask the question, why does the rabbi at the wedding make the bracha? After all, the groom is getting married, the bride, not the rabbi. So why does the rabbi make the bracha? Now, according to the Rambam, it's strange. If you're doing a mitzvah, why would someone else make a bracha? But according to the Ritva, and you're just thanking God for this institution of marriage, then everyone there can make this bracha. As a matter of fact, Rav Herschel Schechter, one of my rebbeim at Yeshiva University, says that he thinks that the bracha is incumbent upon every person who attends this wedding. And therefore, everyone should listen. They shouldn't be talking and playing their phone when the bracha is made. And therefore, the rabbi can make it. Anybody can make it. It's customary for the rabbi, the person who's organizing it and who knows what's going on, make sure that the wedding is kosher. But really, it's a bracha for anyone. It's not just for the groom. It's not a bracha for the mitzvah. Then maybe the groom should make it. Some say that the Masada Kedushin, the one who makes the bracha, should have in mind that he's making the bracha for the groom. That's if it's a bracha for a mitzvah. Now let's take a look at the brachas for the Sheva brachas. But first let's ask, so this bracha was made, when the bracha was given to Rivka, they blessed her. So is the bracha of marriage, of the betrothal, of the Kedushin, is that a bracha for blessing the groom or the bride? Not really. The first bracha for the Kiddushin is really a bracha for the institution of marriage. Let's look now at the Sheva brachos, the seven blessings. There are brachos that are more general, that God made everything, the whole wedding, the great honor and rigmarole of the wedding, it's all for God's glory. It reminds us of when God made Adam, and the notion that he made Eve, but then it turns to Zion, that we hope that this will be a time when God helps not only the bride and groom, but also Zion should be rebuilt. It brings us hope for the future. But then there is a bracha, which is not for the goes gathered there. The bracha is for the bride and groom. Sameach, sameach, reyamim. God, please make these beloved friends who are friends of each other, make them happy. Just like you made Adam and Eve happy in the Garden of Eden. And we bless God who makes the bride and groom happy. And then we said, the one who creates love and kindness and joy, we bless him. And may he soon bring the voice of joy to Jerusalem. And we bless God who helps the bride and groom rejoice. What's the point of this? So, the Rashi says there in Ksubos 8a, this is a bracha for the bride and groom. Or as he puts it, that it's a prayer that the bride and groom should be happy. So, when Rivka was blessed by her family, they blessed Rivka. And when we go to a wedding, we also bless the bride and groom. We make a prayer that they should be happy. You know, when you go to perform various mitzvahs of kindness, such as when you visit the sick, they say, you're not really visiting the sick if you don't pray for them when you go. There's a mitzvah to Menachem Avelim. You shouldn't know from it, but if someone loses a loved one, you go to comfort the mourner. They say you should say some words of comfort, a prayer that they should be consoled. When you go to visit the bride and groom, you also need to make a bracha as well. A bracha, a prayer, that indeed the bride and groom should be simcha, they should be in joy, kol yimeihem, all the days of their lives. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth El Emeth congregation for our discussion of meaning of the wedding blessings. Join us each week for a discussion of the parsha, the various holidays, and how-to videos. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.